Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia, Solartopia, Solartopia. Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia all over God's green world?
Well, we bit that apple and the garden was lost, and so we had to work to pay the cost. And so we went.
Okay, this is Harvey Sugo Wasserman. We're back for our 11th election protection Zoom call. We have a very, very full agenda, and things are really popping all over the place. I want to start with Steve Rosenfeld. Steve, you're with us.
Oceanside?
Steve Rosenfeld?
Harvey?
Yes.
I think Steve is camping somewhere.
I know. He said he'd be on for the first
half hour. Is he going to call in? Okay, great.
I guess we'll let him go until he calls in. I wanted to talk about the New York primary. Here's the overview of what we're going to do today. We're going to talk about the most recent events, including the New York primary, which is still not an official vote count there. Talk about Arizona, North Carolina. Paul Siegel will coordinate with Glency and others on the North Carolina report. Then we're going to have a lengthy discussion with John is going to give us an update from Arizona, and then we'll have a lengthy discussion about the lawsuit that John is filing on the preserving the ballot images, which I think is probably going to go to the U.S. Supreme Court. And that, of course, is a mixed bag. The court did just come down and overturn the ban on abortion in Louisiana. And again, this is the third straight progressive decision from John Roberts. I think Trump really must have shaken up John Roberts, but at any rate, he may decide John Brakey's federal lawsuit. Joel Siegel, are you with us, Joel? Joel's not on yet either, okay. Let's start then with John Brakey. Will you tell us what's going on in Arizona and tell us what it's looking like for the upcoming primary that we talked about before? John Brakey, have you left us? I'm striking out. Maybe I'll just start over. Reverend Glency Redrick, you're with us. Can you show us?
I'm here now. I'm back. I was muted.
Yes.
Oh, you were? Okay.
I'm unmuted now.
Renzi, when Joel Siegel comes on, we'll talk with you about what's going on in North Carolina, which is very substantial. And sure. I want to, there you are. Hi, Renzi. How are you? Reverend Renzi, nice to see you. Okay. John Brakey, I'd like you to start then with what's going on in Arizona, and then we'll segue into your lawsuit, which is going to be the big election protection news of the week. So, John, first tell us, I read earlier in the week that the virus is completely out of control in Arizona, and to the point that the Republican governor is actually going to have to respond. We do remember, of course, that we had a Trump rally there, and John Brakey, can you tell us about what's going on in Arizona? And then we'll get to your lawsuit.
Okay. Well, first off, let's just look at Arizona as a whole, okay? Arizona has its first Democratic Secretary of State for our state since 1991. We've had 27 years of five Republican SOSs, okay? We now have a lady named Katie Hobbs, a Democrat, who was elected in 2018, and I consider her a friend and an ally. And I was, hopefully part of her getting elected by donating, and also the efforts that we've did over 14 years up to that point in Arizona. Katie got in, and the first thing she did is she did the first Secretary of State's procedures manual in 10 years. Why is that important? Because elections are about procedures. And it clearly in that manual is what I call my Bible. When I run around the state, I use that as a way to know what's going on because it's standardized in statewide elections. It's too bad that more states don't do that, okay? The next most important person that we have in the state is the man who runs Maricopa elections. Maricopa elections is 60% of our state.
Wow.
Pima County is 15%. So 75% of the vote in our state is held in two counties. Maricopa, which is, by the way, the second largest voting district in the United States, has always had severe problems. I think it was under Republican control for at least 30 to 40 years. Okay, and you know, just in 2016, Maricopa, Arizona was the fourth worst state to have ballots rejected and vote by mail. Okay, and I know it wasn't Pima County because Pima County and our recorder here does an excellent job. In Maricopa, there were severe problems, and it just came out in an article in Esquire magazine, and they were quoting it from the Intercept. And by the way, the Intercept used to be my site and another guy's site when we first started out, and he sold it to them, didn't know he was selling it. Just kind of a little quiet thing on that. So anyway, I am going to, in Arizona, on July 7th, I will be doing the logic and accuracy test. And why I bring this up, the exciting thing about it is Maricopa just became a digital county. Arizona is now 100% digital. By law, they are required to preserve ballot images, okay? But they are not required to release them because when I sued them to preserve, the next part of my case was to go get them. And during that process, they did a sneaky thing. They went ahead, found an old bill because the legislators were working. They did a striker, and a striker is we take this bill that has different language, you strike all the language out of it, and you put your language in it. It became 16625, and it says ballot images shall be preserved and handled just like ballots, and it takes an authority to release those ballot images, okay? And so we're waiting for a very close election in Arizona, hopefully in Maricopa County, to file litigation to free up those images and show that really my state ballot images, ballots are a public record, but it takes a judge or somebody to release them. Ballot images automatically are releasable, but because of some sneaky work, they got that through, and now we're looking forward to challenging that in the next upcoming election. Arizona has 15 counties. I think that Arizona has the best chance of ever of having fair elections in this cycle, but that will take participation and supporting these heroic people like the Secretary of State and Adrian Fontes and others who are standing up against the far right wing that does not want elections that are transparent, trackable, and publicly verified.
And John, so, in Arizona, does everybody, do all registered voters get an absentee ballot?
No, first off, we don't call them absentee here.
I mean,
vote by mail. Absentee needs an excuse, okay? Right. Vote by mail is to anybody can do it, but they have to request it. Once you get on that permanent list, it's pretty hard to get off, okay? I am not a vote by mail voter, okay? I am going to vote by mail only in the August 5th primary, okay? I'm not a big proponent on vote by mail. There are concerns on vote by mail that could be easily gained, okay? And you know, okay. I'm a big proponent that when a vote by mail ballot comes in, it should have a tracker on the envelope like Amazon has on our packages, okay? I know where they are all the time. Not on the ballot, on the envelope, okay? And then that way we know what the process is. Then I'm a very big proponent on making sure that they do not use a computer and take a picture of the envelope and then have one picture match up to another picture. No, one has to be a wet signature, and I'm gonna work towards making that happen. I know that Pima County does it, And I want to find out how Maricopa exactly does it.
Well, that's a term I've never heard
before. To be original.
That's a term I never heard before, is a wet signature. But okay, so, and you are
the wet signature that you can see it. Okay, I was in a case that they started saying, well, didn't you call up and change your party affiliation? And then they went ahead and they put on a screen a picture of a guy's signature, and it happened to be the same one on his driver's license.
Okay, so you are reasonably on top of things in Arizona. Anybody who
reasonably,
wants to
volunteer? I'm a specialist. I'm looking to hook up with other people, and I'm talking, and I'm trying to build a coalition to help me achieve the goal of doing the final part in Arizona to make Arizona elections transparent, trackable, publicly verified. And publicly verified means is that we use what Ronald Reagan said, trust but verify. And I say to that, no verify, no trust. Elections are not any good unless they're transparent, trackable, publicly verified.
Okay, now you, let's switch now. Does anybody have a question about Arizona before we move to John's federal lawsuit here? And Bob Fitrakis,
not a federal lawsuit, it's a state lawsuit.
Okay, it's a state lawsuit.
Okay,
so
that.
You have lined up a major crew of high-powered lawyers, and you've gotten the Democratic Party to sign on to your lawsuit in Florida, which you are filing tomorrow, right?
Well, I hope to, but first off is that it's not a definite with the Democratic Party, and it's really not for release because there's a meeting tonight where they will sign off and they've already agreed to, but you never know. And so I don't want to jinx it or anything like that.
Okay,
announcement will be made. So it's not a definite, but it looks good. And,
and it
really shouldn't be released at this time because, you know, a lot of things can happen.
Right. So give us the core issue of this lawsuit, which I think will go to the Supreme Court, U.S.
Well, it's a very important, you know, it's a mandamus type case. As an elected official, you take an oath to follow the Constitution of the United States and your state government. And it requires that you do not destroy public records and you preserve. So we are charging 8 counties, which happen to be the largest counties in the state, with not preserving the ballot images. They would like to say that they never turned that feature on the digital scanner. But the reality is it does not count unless it creates an image first. And that's really important. And then that image is used to count the vote. So federal law requires, and state law, that if it's generated in the chain of custody, it must be preserved, especially if you use it to count the votes. A story, quickly. If you mail a ballot and you spill coffee on it, it must be duped to go through the machine. When they dupe it, they'll put two people together, and then what will wind up happening is that they will create a new ballot, and they'll call the old ballot spoiled, and they'll put it in the ledger, and they may call it 0101. And then they will create a new ballot, and that will be ballot 101 duped. One is a spoil, one is a dupe. Because if there was a close election, if the Congress of the United States says, hey, we want that election, you send us everything, they must send you the envelope that the ballot was mailed in. The signature on the envelope they must produce. Any copies. Clearly, you know, when I realized how important these images was, when my first case in Pima County in 2016, the judge said, clearly, he said to Pima County, listen, I'm not computer literate. But if you take a voted ballot and you photocopy it and you use the photocopy to count the vote, what makes you think you can destroy it? You can't. There's a big debate. What is the official record? I claim there are two official records, the one that the voter marked and the one that the machine counted. And they're capable of marrying these two things together if they put the inkjet back in the goddamn machine.
Okay, so you are contending in your lawsuit that officials in a number of counties in Florida are illegally deleting the ballot images. Is that the contention of your lawsuit?
Yes. And okay. Their claim that they didn't turn that feature on is Orwellian language, okay? Because the reality is, like I said, it doesn't work unless it's on. And really when it says, do you want to save all, it should say, you know, or if you only want to save in the write-ins, it should say destroy everything but the write-ins, okay? Save none is giving permission to destroy everything by not preserving it. And how it gets destroyed is that the image is temporarily loaded into RAM memory. And that's where it's stored. And when a ballot goes into the box, it loads that image right to there. And then at the end of the process, after it makes the image, the cast vote record, and if there's no overvote telling you, saying, hey, Harvey, on your ballot, you had an overvote. Do you want the ballot back? If you say, no, that's my vote, the minute it drops in the box, it's supposed to transfer the image to the hard drive on the DS850 or 450, or at the precinct scanner, it's supposed to take it and put it on a USB thumb drive flash drive. That's how the system's supposed to work. But under all law, you cannot destroy this stuff. So they try to make up, you know, ESNS, being who they are, would like to say, oh, these things happen simultaneously, and they Orwellian language it a little bit. But where we catch them really good is on the test reports by the states, and they literally say the image is made, and then it's put on temporary RAM, and then and it goes through that process, and that's how it works.
Somebody's got some music in the background.
Yeah, I got some music to reach to me.
Hello. Okay, so John, I want to talk to Bob Fitrakis a minute. We had a similar lawsuit in Ohio, 2004, not about ballot images, but we sued. Well, Bob, go ahead. You were the attorney on the lawsuit. The King Lincoln lawsuit, of which I was a plaintiff. Can you tell us what happened with the preservation of the election materials in 2004 in Ohio?
Well, 56 of the 88 counties destroyed.
There you go. Okay.
56, and I do have a Michigan T-shirt.
All right, there you go.
Okay, my thumb's in the way. But 56 of the 88 counties destroyed some or all of the ballots and all the election material. Dayton, Ohio destroyed more than 100,000 ballots. They claim they mistook state law of 6 months for federal law of 22 months. So there was no way to verify the vote there, which had a tremendous undervote for various Democratic offices that were in contention. Also, in Youngstown, which is Mahoning County, Rumpke, which is alleged to be connected in the past to questionable activities, ended up accidentally recycling all of the ballots. The ballots were supposed to be in a voter vault. So, and you had to have two keys to it. Somehow a questionable waste disposal company got a hold of that and destroyed all of the ballots there. In Holmes County, up to 20,000 ballots were accidentally destroyed by a large coffee craft. They apparently were making coffee in the voter vault because coffee is very expensive, and a pot of coffee fell. Hence, they had to destroy all the ballots. So,
well, you have to credit them with a sense of humor.
Well, they actually wrote all this down in their reporting to the Secretary of State, Jennifer Bruner. They documented all the one county. Put it in the voter vault that had been flooding for years. Luckily, they saved at the top all of the 76 ballots, but at the bottom were all the 2004 Ohio ballots. So there's a long history of blatantly destroying ballots and election material in Ohio and elsewhere.
Well, and so the federal law, states, as best as I remember as a plaintiff in this case, and you were my lawyer, our lawyer, that the federal law states that the ballot materials must be preserved for 22 months. Is that correct, John and Bob?
That is certainly the case, and that's a key part of our case, and we restate that over and over. I want you to know, believe it or not, I have 8 attorneys on this thing. It's hard to believe. 3 of them I'm paying for, and the other 5 are other attorneys, election attorneys, and we have other election attorneys in other states watching this case because it's like a new industry that we're opening up to expose this, because it's the biggest secret out here that these images exist and how they're made. It's just really, you know, somewhat after I've been doing this all the years, to be disappointed that not more people know. And that's why when the press conference, I'll have 6 to 8 hours notice, I will send out information through this group to everybody that you can join. We're gonna have a Facebook live feed, and we're inviting certain reporters to meet with the team, and Chris Sauter, Susan, and some of the lawyers will lay this thing out. It is the best lawsuit that we've ever put together because of the team and the time. And of course, this is my second bite of the apple in Florida. The first time we sued in federal court. And the court agreed that we were right, but we did not have the right of private action. And the reason for all these attorneys jumping in is to let the court know that this is a very serious case, and some of the best election people in the country, in the state of Florida and DC, are on this case to make sure that they take it very seriously, because we are going to push it really hard. And then we think that this case has legs to go into other states, okay, the precedents that we're going to set there and establish by exposing some of the games that are played here. Because reality is, when it comes right back to it, ending what I'm going to say, we're fighting over the fact if a digital scanner creates an image or not. And you're right, just doing so digital, okay?
As Nixon would say, the ballot comes in, it's a vote by mail ballot. It's put into the digital scanner machine. The digital scanner machine creates a ballot image. The machine has the capability of reading those ballot images and rendering a tally for the election in a very short period of time.
And then DS-850, it's done in 0.2 seconds. On a DS-200, it's done in 6 seconds.
There you go. And so, and then the paper ballots come out the other end and they are preserved.
Yes, in the image. And like I said, if we get them to put the inkjet back into the machine, we can marry these things. That way we get 100% of the images. And then we turn around and say, oh, by the way, we want risk-limiting polls. We want to match up these little things just to be 99%. But I just want to say in closing that this is not a cure-all. You know, we're in an industry that I call, for the lack of better words, an industry of election chicanery, voter suppression, gerrymandering, all sorts of stuff that they can do. This is one facet. To me, this is a big facet. Can we make the black box transparent? Then can we focus on the other games that Karl Rove and crew will play in this cycle? Because we know Karl Rove supposedly has $50 million to play his games.
Right.
Our people, this is called observers. They're going to have challengers.
This is the tail end of the trifecta. We're talking about voter registration rolls. We're talking about vote by mail. And then we're talking about the vote count. And this is the part, this is the heart of the vote count, where and where for the first time we can really render a pretty a reliable vote count in a very short period of time by electronic means and still retain a paper trail that can give us a reliable recount. Now, the suit in Ohio that Bob was the attorney and I was a plaintiff was about doing it, getting a recount in Ohio 2004, and we won the case in federal court. The 88 counties were federally required to bring their election materials into Columbus, where there was a repository set up, Go Blue, and where the 56 of the 88 counties just flat out ignored the federal court decision and never produced the materials. And therefore, there was never a recount in Ohio in the 2004 election, which gave George W. Bush a second term. And had there been a recount, Bob, what do you think might have happened in 2004?
Well, most of the data, it actually, there was a recount in Coshocton County, which showed that Kerry picked up 6% of the vote. And that's about what he was missing electronically, like they'd flipped 3% of the vote. Hence, I think had they actually counted the ballots, remember 84% of them were actually punch card ballots. I think the exit polls, which were highly accurate, would have been right on the money. And Kerry would have won by a couple hundred thousand votes instead of losing by 118,000.
118,770 to be exact. And of course, John Kerry, despite the pleas of his vice presidential candidate, John Edwards, and despite you and me briefing his staff on the 108 different ways they stole that election, Kerry, like Gore and like Clinton, basically conceded. Okay, we're looking at that now. So John, that would not happen. If you win your lawsuit, John Brakey, that could not happen in 2020, right? The ballots come in, they're read on the digital scanners, the electronic images, the digital images are counted, the paper ballots are preserved, and everything is in custody. And so that would clean up a great deal of the problems that we're looking at on the third leg of the trifecta here, which is to protect the vote count. Is that an accurate summary of what's going on here?
I would say close, but you know, you have to remember the most important document is that original ballot. And we're talking about redundancy and how redundancy works to protect each other. If the ballots were to disappear, I would be very concerned about the images, okay? Both must be preserved and tied together in a way that does not hurt a person's individual privacy, okay? Which is not the case. You know, remember, voting is a secret process. Counting is a public process. We want our public process. And so, yeah, both of them are very important. There are two official documents, the one that you marked and the one the machine counted.
That's amazing. Okay, so I think that's a huge deal. I think this will go to the U.S. Supreme Court. It will involve all the other states and the many states and counties that want to pitch these images and be able to come up with their own personal vote tally as opposed to dealing with the one that's produced by the voters.
If that was to happen to go to the Supreme Court, I want you to know, you know, I work with another great lawyer named Bill Reisner, and some of you know him. He's a fabulous guy. He's 76, been a lawyer all his life, and a great trial attorney. And he claims, and I have to agree, that
breaking
he
up,
says that they're destroying these things. What? You can't hear me very well?
Now we can.
You're destroying these things if the reason they're destroying these things is somebody may be protecting their right to cheat now or in some future election. They don't want elections that are transparent, trackable, publicly verified. They want to tell you that they know the results are right because they ran a Volkswagen logic and accuracy test.
Right. Okay. So you are protecting. This is a very big deal, people. That's why we started with John here. This means that the technology, not only do we have the technology, but the technology is in place to get a 99.9% reliable vote count based on vote by mail or paper ballots, one way or the other, absentee, vote by mail, walk it in, get it at the vote at the station, whatever you need to do. If we have paper ballots, they can go into this machine. We can get a digital ballot image. We can get a vote count in 6 seconds, and we can retain the paper ballots. I mean, this is a breakthrough. This is mind-boggling.
I mean, you're hiding it.
And the images. I just want to say we can retain the paper ballots and the images. because historically it's been near impossible to get citizens' hands on paper ballots for reasons I can understand. It is not going to be as impossible to get citizen hands on the ballot image file because the master ballot image file is with the registrar. So the most important thing is that the ballot image file at the registrar's and all the little images inside match their paper sources. And that's what John is talking about. They have to turn on the printer mechanism, which by the way, they turned off in Ohio because they wanted to get around this. But you got to turn on a printer mechanism that stamps the paper ballot with the same number that's going on the ballot images. 0015, 0015. So that later you can, my fingers aren't meeting, but later you can match, you know, the source to the image, the source to the image. That would be some sort of, you know, statistical audit, whatever. That's down the line. But in the short term, what John's talking about is because you've preserved the ballot image file, citizens can get that file and they can count up the election themselves redundantly and presumably come up with the same numbers that the elections office did. Now, if they didn't, all right, there's a lot of discussion to be had. But the point is, it is now transparent. And we run into a different set of challenges, but it's not the challenge of everything's going on secretly at the registrars and they're trying desperately never to let us recount the election on paper or images or any other way. So it's a step forward and it's thrilling. And John, I'm so glad because this has been years and people are finally understanding it and getting it. And the education of the public about what we were into was so important. That was HABIT 2004, my God, 2002. It's been a long, long time. Congratulations.
Well, let's do this. Now, we have a question here, John, from Tim White about a recent suit that was lost, saying that in the North Florida federal court, saying that there was no standing. Is that a suit that you're referring to?
Yes, and that's what it was. We didn't lose the suit on the merit. The judge apologized. It was a federal judge. And when the law was passed, it didn't give the right to private action to the public to enforce.
Okay.
You follow me?
Yeah.
So we didn't lose the case. We didn't have the right to bring it up. It was a responsibility of the feds. And that's why we're asking for a congressional investigation to expose a lot of this, what we're finding out here from doing 18 states, and to say if the feds, who are really, in my opinion, after doing this for 16 years and contacting them cycle after cycle and not even getting a return email, useless. I'm sorry. They're useless.
Well, this, I'm sure that the Republicans will take this to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Maybe, I don't know. You know, all I know is that it's a simple case. Does a digital scanner create an image, okay? Or does it have a secret thing in it that bypasses the image and it goes back to the old system of marked sense where a light came down and if there was a dark spot, it got absorbed and left no evidence behind?
Okay, but then the question is, does the law require the election boards to retain and use these images, and who's going to enforce that? Because as we saw in Ohio, the federal law required the counties to bring their materials to Columbus, and 56 of the 88 counties just took a hike, and were never prosecuted. Now, if the U.S. Supreme Court comes down, God willing, 5-4, and says that you have to retain these ballot images, and you have to use them to count the election, and the local county boards ignore them, what's going to happen?
Well, you know, I think an important point here is this, is that, you know, if they do wind up destroying, and Trump will stand up, he will lose this election, and he'll say, I hope not, but I hope he doesn't say, I know they stole the election because they destroyed the proof that could prove elections are real simply, because Roy Moore tried to do that. But he wasn't a guy in power. And it scares, that's my nightmare, that I fail and that this election goes into the fourth box of democracy, the first one being the soapbox that I'm on. The second box is the ballot box that some candidates go to. The third box I'm fighting in right now. And the fourth box, God forbid, that's the cartridge box, because the first three were supposed to stop the use of violence.
Yeah, well, this is very,
we forget what democracy's for.
We had a discussion before you came on. I do not want to get into it now, but Greg Tabor raised the question of California, which Mimi is well aware of, and there's a lot of, and I don't want to talk about California right now because we're going to really run out of time, and there's a ton to cover, but if we, maybe at the end, but if you off camera and Mimi can talk with Greg about, and now I'm sure Ray Lutz knows about what's going on with digital images in California, that would be good. And of course, I'm assuming that when this goes to the Supreme Court, this will be a national precedent, and this will be a huge monument in American democracy if we get out of this. If this is not the last election in American history, which it could well be, then this will have a huge. This will be in all the history books, certainly in the ones I write. So, does anyone else have a question for John on this case? Raise your hand either in the chat box or wherever, or just pipe up if you want to. Okay, John, magnificent. I'm totally with you. I think we all are. And I hope to God that this works. And whatever support you need, let us know, and you'll keep us posted.
I have a question.
Yeah, Gary?
John, do you have much interest in getting 60 Minutes to do a story about this?
You know, they were just 60 Minutes just did a story yesterday, which was interesting, and it had one of the top guys in the country in elections that Chris used to work with. I forget his name offhand. Of course, this is all about getting people informed to know how to stand up and demand that they want elections that are transparent, trackable, publicly verified.
Okay, well, if you do, then drop me a line. And if anyone else listening to this knows a good writer that's good at pitching 60 Minutes.
Well, I will, glad you asked that, Gary, because I will be putting a package out with a press release. It will have the complaint. It will have the experts on it, which is Dr. Tom Ryan, very well known. It's going to have Ray Lutz, Susan Pinchon, and mine. I am going to release my affidavit right now on this call. I'm going to put it into Zoom that anybody can download it. And I think it's a very good description of how this thing works. And you can see the malfeasance of the vendor for obfuscating and not being clear of how this thing works.
And why would say Orwellian, vendor...
it does the opposite of what they say. You know, like I said, saving write-ins only means destroy everything else. Okay,
but John, real quick, who's the principal vendor of these machines?
ESNS. They're the big, the Dominion people are all saving in Florida. We have there's 67 counties, and we have confirmed that 27 of them are preserving and educated by what we did 2 years ago. This is a process. You don't quit. You keep going at it. You get better and better as you go. And that's what we do. We're like fine wine. The older we get, the better we get.
All right, you can speak for yourself on that one. Terrific. And anyone else has questions for John? John, give your contact if you would.
I'll add that. johnbrakey@gmail.com. On Facebook, John Roberts Brakey. And I will send a notice out. Please, if you have friends in the media, tell them to be on this Zoom call. Flow over will flow into Facebook. We're going to hit all the blogs if we have time before the press conference.
All right. Well, this, like I said, it's hard to overestimate the importance of this. If you go to the Supreme Court and you win on this, and we publicize the sufficiently, which, you know, we got 4 months. 4 months we can get the publicity out. I mean, that's not.
These are fast suits. I want you to know this is. We get priority because of the type of suit it is.
Yes, Mimi.
Yeah.
We'll be in court within 10 days, maybe.
John, The question is coming from Greg Tabor and me. What about release of the ballot images to the public as public records? Does that need to go forward by citizen pressure on our secretaries of state? Or do you have any information about the status of that? In other words, preserving them is huge. The part you're doing is huge because that's the detail that they've been denying this on preservation. But what about access? Do you have, I think Ray-
State to state, it's different. Florida, we won the fight before we even started about getting them. If they have them, they're ours, okay? Arizona, they should be, but through treachery and trickery, they block. Now it's our turn to do what we're gonna do next. Okay?
So state by state, that's an action.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That's state action.
State to state,
okay,
that's all different.
Well, that's the point. I don't think, well, there is
remember in Ohio, it's county by county.
Could be, you know, every state's different.
Yes, and that's the point.
For the county, they left it up, 4 decided yes, 10 said no.
Yeah, well, we're suing the Secretary of State and the 8 counties, but we expect the Secretary of State to send a directive to all counties and tell them what the law is and they need to follow the law, okay? Not making up crap and saying, talk to your council, or we don't know if it really has an image or not. I mean, that game is outplayed. Terrible.
Wow. Well, of course, go ahead, Mimi.
It's Emily. I want to make sure that everyone knows that if you're interested in getting involved in working with ballot images in your community, we're doing trainings about that in scrutineers.org. John and I did one introductory call that goes into more detail than there is here, and the video of that is available in the site, and we're going to be doing future trainings about how to do the public records requests, how to get ballot images, and what to do with them when you get them. So good. I really want to encourage people to come check out that material.
Well, and that's and important.
Too, because Emily's one of the best trainers in the country and organizers to be able to people to understand this whole industry that we're fighting, because there's all facets. I'm just doing one part. I'm a special team on a special project. Yes, I teach these other things, but it's hard for me to, you know, to do it all and do it right.
Right, and thanks to Emily. Somebody's finally matched you with a great background here. Alan Minsky has joined us, and I'm sure that Alan and Emily are coordinated from PDA and from Scrutineers, because Alan has many people and through PDA.
We will pick that up, and Emily and I should be in touch over the next few days, because we got to get the coordination going.
This is critical, because you know the point is also, if we win, and if we have a legal precedent saying that the ballot images have to be preserved and counted, somebody's got to enforce that, and the Republican, you know, Trump will still be in power. And as Bob and I learned in Ohio, a federal court decision can be ignored by 56 of 88 counties. I mean, they just flat out ignored it. So this is, winning the preservation of the ballots is a big deal, but we're gonna have to be prepared to enforce it ourselves, because certainly the Bill Barr Justice Department is not going to enforce it. So that's something to keep in mind. I mean, I got to say that when we learned, you know, we had the Secretary of State in Ohio was a Democrat in 2005. And when she gave the order, she set up the repository. The federal judge ordered the counties to bring down the election materials, and they ignored him, and nothing happened. So it's not going to be enough just to preserve the ballots. We got to make sure that they're actually, that the law is enforced. It's mind-boggling. I still haven't gotten over that. Astounding. Okay.
How would you make sure it's enforced with a Republican Senate?
It's a question of the Department of Justice and the state law enforcement agencies.
I mean, in our case, Harvey, remember there were 24 lawsuits. Bruner settled 23. She could have signed a consent decree for the rest of her term that would have enforced it. But for whatever reason, and I believe John Kerry could be the reason, she decided not to settle with us. We were the only people she didn't settle with.
Yeah, so in other words, the Democrats walked away. They just flat out walked away. And so, you know, John's lawsuit here is monumental, but if we win, we're only halfway there. Now, that's why getting public sentiment to understand the reality of these images is so critical.
Harvey.
Yes, Mimi.
Release Declaring the images to be public records would be proof of their preservation. There really will be no proof from the counties until release is on the table as an issue. And there are people talking about we should have Alex Padilla lead the way. He should say they must be preserved as public records. Once they're public records, then we have access to them. But that has been really hard. And Harvey Branscombe gave a very detailed explanation before we were into this very far. So maybe it was hard to understand as to why ballot image files are not being declared public records, because there are BS excuses about people wrote on their ballots. And therefore you could find out how your neighbor voted because it was identifiable. Believe it or not, anonymity of the ballot is in some places by the counties, because what has happened is this legal fight has been kicked down to the counties. Secretary of State, like Alex, says they must be preserved. Yay, what's the proof? Go to the county and ask for them. The county can go, I don't think so. Then how do you know? So that's the job now, county by county, but the law is on our side to at least know that they're being preserved. But I don't think the law is on our side yet about they deserve to be public records. A point of law that has been disputed, I think, in Colorado. So maybe Harvey can talk to us more about that.
Now I don't think Harvey, John, does your law
let me say on that is this, is that, you know, if you put your name on a ballot, you've given away your right, okay? But not my right to verify. Now, each state is different. There are some states like the state of Washington that state in their constitution, and I know this because when I sued my state, the county, they tried to use the state of Washington's constitution against me. And their constitution says absolute secrecy, okay? My state doesn't say that, okay? Ballots are a public record, okay? Now we're talking about people playing games to hide it. We're gonna get them. Okay, because we are turning the tide in Arizona. Okay?
John, does your lawsuit address the status of the ballot images as public records?
Yes, only to the fact that they've already declared that they are, because we're getting them in Florida. I'm getting ballot images out of 15 to 20 counties already being delivered to Ray Lutz to use for beta testing, okay? That's how we know. It's a good state for getting public records. It's a bad state if you can't stop them from destroying them and lying about it.
Okay, well, there we go. That's about it. Anyone else? I mean, this is about as important as it gets. I don't have to restate that. And
we got a hand up right here.
Who, Alan, where?
Because he's only on for 10 more minutes.
Who's that?
Alan Minsky, are you here?
Oh, it's Joel Siegel.
Yes.
Yeah. Wait. I wanted.
Yeah, I'm here.
Alan, Steve Rosenfeld is not on. Alan,
Joel Siegel had a question.
Who did?
Joel Siegel. Joel, you got
Joel,
something?
Joel, go ahead. Joel.
No, this is fantastic. I have a client that's waiting for me. This is fantastic. Is it okay if I depart, or did you need me?
Yes,
to say
go
anything?
On, because I wanted you and Rancy to talk about North Carolina real quick.
I'll stay on. I don't want to get in the way of the agenda, though.
No. Do what you got to do.
I think we're done.
Okay, we good? Won. We good on this?
Well, go
I
want
to go state by state. Joel Siegel, you and Renzi and whoever else is on from North Carolina, we wanted to hear what the latest is there. I know there's a lot going on.
Well, I think, the discussions we're having in North Carolina, we want to make sure that we don't have 8-hour waiting lines at the polls, mainly in the black community. We want to make sure that absentee ballots actually get counted, and that when people actually get the applications, you know, they get an absentee ballot. But what I've been talking to with some state legislators, they think there's a need for an emergency kind of a national working group of progressives and state legislators and city council members. I talked to Jennifer Roberts about this. And what we want to be able to do is, you know, in North Carolina, come up with a plan for election protection, but also in the swing states, we're going to have to do this quickly, because if you look at the debacles of every state that's had an election, They're all the same. But if you look at the response of the Democratic Party, there is no response. So it's up to us. I think we're going to need our revolution, indivisible, color of change. We're going to have to bring in the every single progressive community and have an emergency meeting about voter suppression. I see Maya Cummings has joined us. If there's one person who I would trust would be Maya, because Maya is the former chair of the Maryland Democratic Party, and she understands the machinery of how elections are won or lost. And they had a debacle in Maryland. So I would rather just kind of give up my time after Glency speaks and ask Maya, what do we do?
Okay, we have Glency and Jennifer and then Maya. Maya, you good with that?
Okay.
Hey, you're outside. Look at you. All right. Glency Redrick from North Carolina. How are you?
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm well. Thank you for having me on the call today. Just want to share with you, you wanted me to share, we had a voter education forum on Saturday. We actually did it Facebook Live, and we had some technical issues in it, but we're going to do a redo August 8th. But what we did a full-scale education. I opened up with the history of enslaved Africans from 1600s to bring it current, to impress upon the reason and the need for voting, how the struggle to vote. So we were able to give some images to that. We also provided them with a 3-minute clip of, if you remember the days of Schoolhouse Rock, where they talked about how bills are made and how they're passed and how they're intact. So I did a very deep dive on education to help the listeners understand the importance of voting. And then after that, my partner, Colette Austin, went through explaining what the positions were, how often they voted, what was necessarily needed. We went over the ballot, how that looks. We went over how to be able to register online. And also in that, we talked about the census, because the census has a direct impact on us being able to realize another district. And so how that looks. So making sure that our listeners, our viewers were, if they had not already completed the census, that they would do so. So we had one of our state senators on, Kelly Alexander, who reemphasized the change in the absentee ballot application. We used to have 2 signatures. Now you need only 1. We're still working that out in terms of getting them out to the public. And so he explained to them that please go ahead and request the ballot. However, if you feel comfortable or safe going into the polls to vote directly, then you don't have to submit the absentee ballot. But please take time to do the application to get the ballot. One of the things that we are concerned with is that we don't want to wake up and find days before it's time to vote that we have a Kentucky situation where the majority of the polls have been closed, and North Carolina has already begun to close polls around the state. So kind of stay ahead of that and make sure that we can get our voter listeners, and we were specifically targeting Mecklenburg County, but once we fix that for Facebook Live, then anybody in the state of North Carolina will be able to see that Facebook Live broadcast. So I echo the issues that we are currently facing with voting throughout the state. And if we don't stay alert and in tune, we can find ourselves having some outcomes that we don't want to have.
Like Trump.
Excellent. Beautiful. Beautiful. I'm sure you'll connect with Emily, who's doing a lot of training, because it sounds like you worked out a great protocol for training. Jennifer Roberts, you want to jump in?
Sure, I can jump in for a second. My colleagues gave some great information. I just want to add a couple of pieces. I was on a voter education call with the LGBT community, who, as you know, has been also severely discriminated against based on our General Assembly. And they're very motivated on voting. A lot of good information on that call as well, just like Glency had on her call, which is fabulous. So there are a lot of communities that are really understanding the need to vote. I want to add, polling sites are being closed, but the other thing that we're struggling with in our state is the whole mask issue. And so people are not obeying. They're angry with the governor for hurting their businesses by requiring people to be safe and to wear masks. So we're getting a lot of debate around that. And again, it's just highlighting for people the importance of voting in people who believe in science. So I think
what a concept.
Let you know that we're struggling with that here, but we're going to use it to motivate people to get out and vote. So
beautiful. All right. Thank you. Thank you.
Does Ellen Minsky have a moment?
What? Who's that? Maya Cummings was up next.
Yeah. Go, Maya.
Alan, do you have to leave?
I do, but I don't really have any specific update. This is a difficult time for me. I'm on a nationally syndicated radio show now at this time of this meeting. And of course, so I'm going to have to talk to you, Harvey, off of this, and then maybe you'll bring in a report for me.
Yes, okay.
Continue reaching out to all of our chapters. I'm going to talk to Emily this week so we can coordinate better. So I'll have more of an update for the group either through Harvey or by myself, or I'll be able to join next week.
Okay. Alan, if you will send me the contacts for PDA, I will incorporate them in my article, which I'll put out tonight.
I will talk to you before then, okay?
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Maya Cummings.
Hi, yeah, I just sent everybody on the listserv. Hi, Paul. Hi, everybody. Just sent everybody on the listserv an article about what happened in Maryland. It was a complete debacle. I think it's being downplayed because Maryland is considered a blue state. But there was racial inequity in terms of the implementation of the vote by mail system here. As well as, of course, class inequity with jurisdictions that were disproportionately. So, you know, everything that went wrong, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Everything that went wrong could go wrong, did go wrong, from the delay of mailing ballots, particularly the jurisdiction of Baltimore City was the very last to receive mail-in ballots a week before the election. To wrong information on the ballots, to certainly long lines at polling in-person polling locations because they reduced the number of in-person polling locations, to no chain of custody or questionable chain of custody at some of these drop boxes that they encourage people if they didn't mail in their ballot that they could drop it off at a drop box. No verification of who was picking those up and, you know, whether the ballots were secure, et cetera. So there were a lot of issues. And the question is how can this be corrected by the fall? One of the issues was also there was a lack of education. So not only did the voters many voters didn't receive their mail-in ballots by mail because they changed addresses or it never arrived. And then people didn't know what to do. Many people arrived at the poll to find out that the election board had claimed that they had already voted when they'd never received a ballot in the first place. And so then they were encouraged to actually vote provisional, meaning that none of their votes counted. So what we have here is just a holy mess. And there's a Republican governor who is sitting on the top of our election systems who seems not to be interested in hearing advice from voter advocates. So what's needed in the fall? One, training. We do need a cadre of election protection volunteers who can, I think, work the polls and be out there educating ambassadors, if you will, educating community members while also working the polls and doing what needs to be done at the polling locations. We also need a public education effort, expenditures by the State Board of Education and the parties to educate the public about mail-in ballot procedures and everything that's needed. So, and then of course, you know, the State Board of Elections needs to get its act together with regards to making sure information and data is correct, making sure ballots are mailed out in a timely fashion, and making sure that there are enough in-person polling places to accommodate the demand. So there's just a lot that needs to be done, and it all has to be done, of course, by November. And so we've got work to do.
Wow. So thank you.
They got Medicare for All and a bunch of other stuff there.
A few other minor details.
We can't get Medicare for All if we don't get our guys elected. So,
all right.
First things first.
Thank you, Dorothy, with that. Thank you, Paul Zeitz. We'll see you all in 2 weeks. Make good use of this and write me about that article, please. All right, everybody. No more stolen elections.
All right.
Was there an Adam? Was there an Eve? Or did we evolve from what we conceived? Either way, we got what we needed when the sun shone down on the Garden of Eden.
Don't you know we're gonna have a Solartopia, Solartopia, Solartopia.
We bit the apple and the garden was lost, and so we had to work to pay the cost, and so we went